We are glad that you're here. Always glad to have our number here as well as visitors, and we do appreciate your coming and being with us. We do have a number of visitors this morning. We appreciate your presence. I'd like for us to think this morning concerning saving the lost. The songs we've been singing, of course, have to do with that subject, that Jesus, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, made a statement there. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And this really just sort of sums up the reason Jesus came to the earth. And as we think about how important that is, then we need to understand what that means to us and what the implication is to us and how that affects us. In Luke chapter 15, there in verses 3 through 7, Jesus told a parable saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" And then notice what Jesus said. "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." You see, there is nothing that brings joy to God more than those who are willing to repent of sins in their lives and turn to Him to find salvation. Jesus came to save the lost. And as we look at Jesus as our example, then we need to understand that this is what He expects of us. Very often we look at someone's dying words. In this case, it is the parting words of Jesus just before He ascended back to the Father in heaven. He had His disciples with Him. He was up on the mountain in Matthew chapter 28. And in verse 18, He spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then look what He said to them. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me. I have the right to tell you what to do." And He says, "Therefore, since all authority has been given to me, you go." And so this is called very often the Great Commission, because Jesus is commissioning His disciples to go. But He tells them, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations." He's talking to those who are already His disciples, and He says to them, "I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of other people. I want you to go and make disciples not just of some people, but of all the nations. And once they are disciples," He says, "then I want you to teach them all the things that I've taught you." And so there is a process here that Jesus says we need to go, we need to make disciples out of people, and then we need to teach them the teachings of Jesus. We have a responsibility then to go and teach those that are lost. And Jesus said, "Don't you worry, I'll be with you. You've got this job to do, but you're not going to be alone because I'm going to be with you." And so Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." And He said, "I will be with you when you are doing this." And so Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. His parting words to His disciples is telling them how important it is to share the gospel, and then to teach others to do the same. We see Peter as he does this in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, you remember in chapter 2 he preached the very first gospel sermon. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had gone up to the temple and they had healed this lame man. And the religious leaders of the day had called them in and they were basically on trial for having done this. And in verse 12 of chapter 4, Peter said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that must be given among men by which we must be saved." Peter said, "I'm going to tell you something. You need to understand that you need salvation, first of all, and secondly, you need to understand that it's only found in Jesus Christ. And today we need to share that same gospel with those around us. Because today the same thing is true. There is salvation in no one else. And all of those who are lost need salvation. And so Peter tells them, this is how you get saved. You go to Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The Apostle Paul shared the same mission. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 22, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some, and I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. You see, the Apostle Paul had one mission in life, and that was to bring people to Jesus Christ. That was all he wanted to do. Oh, he made tents on the side. He traveled around. He wrote a lot of things. He studied with people. He did a lot of things. But the one ultimate goal that he had in everything that he did was to bring people to Jesus Christ that they might be saved. And he said, I'm willing to give up things. He said, if it bothers somebody, it keeps them from becoming Christian, I'll give that up. I'll do some things I don't particularly want to do in order to bring people to Christ. It wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about what was comfortable. It wasn't about what was convenient. It was about what can I do that will bring others to Jesus Christ. That was all he was concerned about. And we need to have the same concern for those around us. In writing Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, here he says that my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, he's talking about the Israelites, is their salvation. In fact, he goes on later in that chapter and he says, if it were possible, I would be accursed so that they could be saved. You see, Paul had this driving desire that says, I want to share the gospel with those who are lost. And today we need that same driving desire in each one of us. And so we see Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We see Peter had that same mission. We see Paul had the same mission. And he instructed the young preacher Timothy to do the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Beginning there in verse 1, he said, I solemnly charge you. Give him an order. He said, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they accumulate to their own selves teachers in accordance to their own desires, will turn away their ears from the truth, will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so Paul says to Timothy, you have this job to do and you do it. You go out and you preach the gospel to those that are lost. While that is especially the job of an evangelist, as he says here, it is also the job of everyone who is a Christian. As we think about who, Jesus said, you go and you make disciples, and then you teach them to make disciples. You teach them to go out and to reach others that are lost. That's what we saw in Matthew 19 and 20, or 28, 19, 20. He said, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. One of the things He commanded them was go and make disciples. And so we have this responsibility, and it should be our mission as Christians to go out and to reach people with the gospel. The early disciples did this. Remember in the city of Jerusalem, they began to be persecuted, and when they were persecuted, many of the Christians fled from Jerusalem. The apostles stayed there, but many of the Christians fled from there. And in this passage that we're fixing to look at in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it's not talking about those that were preachers. It's not talking about those that were prophets. It's not talking about those that had any kind of special position in the Lord's church, but rather it was just simply those who were Christians. And it says those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. The word preaching there doesn't necessarily mean getting up in a pulpit and publicly preaching like I'm doing now. It just simply means proclaiming. Wherever they went, they shared the gospel with people they came in contact with. And today we have a responsibility to do the same thing. Why is this so important? It is important because God made us and God will judge us in the final day. That's why it's important. Every single one of us and every single person we ever come in contact with is going to stand in judgment before God. And so it is extremely important that we share the gospel with others. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 just simply tells us two things. First of all, is an appointed man wants to die, we're all going to die. And secondly, after this comes judgment. All of us are going to face judgment. And we may not like that idea. We may want to put it out of our minds and not think about it. We may want to pretend that it's not going to happen. But just as surely as every single one of us will die, every single one of us will stand before God in judgment. And we need the gospel for that reason. Since we all will be judged in the final day, we must share the gospel with the lost. Because it's only in this life that we have an opportunity to find salvation and to be ready to face death. In Luke chapter 16, in verses 19 through 31, and I got this slide mixed up here. But here Jesus is talking about the rich man and Lazarus. And I'm not sure how I did it, but I think I got some out of order this morning. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus is telling the story here of the rich man and Lazarus. And the whole point of that story is that you remember the rich man in this life, he had everything going his way, and Lazarus was a poor beggar and just laid at his gates and the dogs would lick his sores. And both of them died. And the poor man went to Abraham's bosom and Lazarus went to a place of torment. And he saw Father Abraham and he called out to Father Abraham. He said, just send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and touch my tongue to just something. I'm in agony. And he said, I can't do that. There's a great gulf between us and he can't cross over. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'd then do. He said, I've got five brothers. He said, send Lazarus back to reach them so they won't come to this place. He said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't listen if somebody came back from the dead. But you know what Jesus is teaching here in this story? More than anything else, Jesus is teaching us that while we have time, while we have opportunity, while we have life, we must prepare for eternity. And not only must I prepare for myself, but I must try to reach those that are lost and help them to prepare, because there is coming a time when preparation will be done. And when we face death, we either are ready for heaven or we are ready for hell. And there won't be any changing. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to understand that you may not have tomorrow and you need to prepare for eternity today. And all of us have friends and family, neighbors, acquaintances that are lost. And we need to share the gospel with them while we have time. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, Jesus tells the parable there of the rich, of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. And again, the whole point of that story is that there were five of them who prepared for the future. There were five who did not make preparation. And those that did not make preparation were not allowed to enter into the wedding feast. Those who did were invited in. And the point is the same. Now is the time that we must prepare. We must get ready while we have life. But you know, the real problem is sin. That's what the problem is. We've all sinned. And all of us deserve to be lost in hell. That's just the way it is. Romans 6 verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to be lost. And yet, in spite of that, Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is willing to save us. And Jesus is able to save us. And so if we go back and we read the rest of Romans 6 and verse 23, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, here it is, I'm going to give it to you. And yet how many refuse to accept the gift of eternal life? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said there's salvation in no one other. It's only in the name of Jesus that we have salvation. Jesus is the answer to sin, and we must come to Jesus in faith. And not only come to Him in faith, but acknowledge our faith by confessing Jesus as our Lord, confessing Jesus as the Savior, confessing Him as the one we are willing to submit to. Paul says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so we need to be willing to believe in Jesus with all of our heart, and we must be willing to confess Him with our mouth. But not only that, we must be willing to turn away from sin. Since we truly believe in Him, since we really accept Him as our Lord and as our Savior, we say, okay, You tell me what to do. And He says, turn away from sin, and we must do that. And when we have turned from sin, we must be baptized into Jesus Christ. This is what Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost. He told them, repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it is today, we must believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We must turn away from our sin in repentance. Having confessed our faith in Him, we're baptized into Christ, and we have our sins forgiven. But then we must share the gospel with the lost. We must tell those around us, our families, whether it be our children or our parents or our brothers and sisters or cousins or whatever it is, we need to share the gospel with those that are lost. How important that is. We need to share the gospel with our friends. We need to share the gospel with our neighbors. We need to share the gospel with all those that are lost around us, wherever they are and whoever they are. If they will listen to us, we need to share the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 14, Paul said, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but He died for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the responsibility to share this means of being reconciled to God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were intruding through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, Paul says, I'll do anything. And he said, I beg you, be reconciled to God. And today we need to have this same zeal and this same fervor to reach out to those that are lost and to do what we can to bring people to Jesus Christ. We need to share the gospel with the lost. If we're going to share the gospel with those who are lost, we must first of all show them how important it is to us. And this may be one of the biggest deterrents in reaching people that are lost, as they look at us. And they see how we live. And they see what emphasis we put on the gospel. And they see what emphasis we put on doing what God says. You see, if they can't see the gospel lived in us, if they don't see Jesus Christ living through us, then how are we ever going to be able to attract them to the gospel with words? What we do says so much more than what we say. And so we must live for Him. And if the gospel and Jesus Christ and serving God is not the most important thing in our lives, then you can rest assured those people that know us will know that it's really not at the top of our list. Peter, in talking about husbands and wives, makes a point in 1 Peter 3 in verses 1 and 2. And I want you to understand the point that I'm making here. He says, in the same way, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, and notice what he says, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Peter says, you want to win your husband to Christ? Then you live right. Show him what it is to be a Christian. You want to win your wife to Christ? Show her what it is to be a Christian. You want to win your children to Christ? Then you live for Jesus Christ. If I want to win my neighbor, he better see Jesus living in me, because I won't ever do it if he doesn't. You see, we must live for him if we want to win people to Christ. This morning we ask the question, are you saved? If you're not, would you come to Jesus and accept his salvation? And then share the gospel with those that are lost. This is what he expects. This is what he wants. Are you willing to do that this morning? Each of us must make that decision. Each of us must decide for ourselves. Are we willing to do what it takes? This morning, if you're here and you're subject to his invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.